You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on a Friday, getting ready for Wisconsin football and Indiana tomorrow. We got a guest coming on, Paul Gable of TheHoosier.com from Rivals. Joins, he covers Indiana football and basketball. Joins to preview Indiana, Jack Tuttle, their new QB. The big news right off the bat, before I get into the intro, before I get into the episode, is that, of course, tomorrow, Michael Penix Jr., Indiana's star quarterback, out and out for the year with a torn ACL, which means Jack Tuttle, San Marcos, California native, former Utah Ute, a transfer from Utah and a former four-star recruit, gets his first career start for Tom Allen and the Hoosiers. Paul Gable of TheHoosier.com breaks it down with us on Locked On Badgers. My name is Asher Lowe, and I'm the site editor at Badgers Wire, about to start at ESPN Madison, and a play-by-play broadcaster for Badger Sports. But most importantly, of course, I am your host right here on the Locked On Badgers podcast, bringing you the inside student perspective filled with stats, special guests, and all things Badger sports. Make sure you listen and follow for free on Apple, Google, Spotify. Drop a review on Apple if you can. If you have not yet dropped a review, that'd be awesome. If I am in your Spotify Wrapped, hit up at Locked On Badgers at ALOW_33 on Twitter and let me know. Love to see all that. And if you've been listening to Locked On Badgers all year, love to see that if it's in your Spotify Wrapped and I'm in your top five podcasts, shout us out. Starting right now with a Wisconsin featured preview of this game, and then of course we'll get into the Paul Gable of the Hoosier.com Indiana side of this game. Tomorrow, 2:30 Central, Indiana and Wisconsin. And let's dive right into some things to watch for the Badgers. So, against Northwestern, 7 points scored 2 weeks ago. And the big reason was, obviously, the struggles of Graham Mertz is probably first and foremost. But the reason he struggled, and he was never going to give you this excuse, he was a leader. This is me giving him this excuse. And it's not a full-on excuse, because there were throws he had to make that he didn't. There were decisions he made that made no sense, regardless of who was on the field, right? But he's a freshman quarterback. Third start. This was going to happen, especially because his top two wide receivers, Danny Davis and Kendrick Pryor, were out, and we, the media and the fans, didn't know they were out until literally 30 minutes before kick. I'm sure Graham knew for a while, but we didn't know that they were out. Kendrick Pryor is expected to be back. Danny Davis is expected to be back as well. Pryor's was an injury that he suffered on a jet sweep against Michigan. He seems good to go. He talked to the media this week, as did Danny Davis. Both seem good to go, so should be no issues there, but obviously you never really know, given this weird COVID season and all the things that come with it. But having those two guys back on the field means a couple things for this Wisconsin offense, as they look to rebound against an Indiana defense that has been very impressive, especially in terms of forcing turnovers. They forced three by Justin Fields, which is an unheard-of number for Ohio State's star QB. Three picks in that one. Forced a few turnovers against Maryland in a big win last week. So they are an offense that will make you put the ball on the ground. And it's something Wisconsin did way too often against Northwestern. Four first half turnovers. I don't know who you're beating in the Big Ten Conference. Not a lot of teams you're beating in Power 5 college football if you turn the ball over four times in the first half. And Wisconsin did just that at Northwestern. So with Pryor and Davis back, you get one huge addition, and it's not just with Graham Mertz being able to throw to them. It's also with these jet sweeps, these misdirections that we've seen run with Shamari Adike as well. We've seen them run all year for Wisconsin, and they kind of just went away from it completely against Northwestern, and you get why a little bit, right, without the top two guys doing it in Pryor and Davis. And when they did do it, it was Adam Krumholtz, Jack Dunn, and it just looked completely out of whack. So Wisconsin needs to get back to that misdirection that they had against Michigan that worked so well and has worked so well many, many times during the Paul Chris tenure, and it'll work well again if they can get back to it with Kendrick Pryor and with Danny Davis on Saturday. Obviously as well, two senior security blankets for Graham Mertz to bounce back in a game where I really think he will bounce back in a big way against Indiana. Wisconsin expected to win this game by two touchdowns. I don't fully see that, but I absolutely see Graham Mertz coming out, not turning the football over, and just playing a much smarter overall football game in bounce-back mode after he was just, you know, all out of sorts the entire way against Northwestern. A defense that, yes, played well, but a lot of the stuff was self-inflicted for the Badger offense in that game. Defensively, new quarterback, right? Can Wisconsin get to Jack Tuttle early? With a new quarterback, with a guy that's never started a collegiate game, one of the most important things for Jim Leonard's defense will be to get to him and put pressure in his face early with the linebackers. You got to get Nick Herbig going in the pass rush. You got to get Jack Sanborn attacking the quarterback a little bit in this 3-4 defense. Sure, you want the line to get into the backfield and make some havoc, but usually Wisconsin sack numbers come out of the linebacker position given the way that Jim Leonard plays this defense and structures this 3-4, and it's going to happen again tomorrow where the linebackers have to be the ones actively getting to Jack Tuttle in his face, pressuring him from the get-go, because if he's not comfortable tomorrow in his first career start, he's going to struggle. If he's sitting back there picking Wisconsin apart, he's a pro-style QB, he has a great arm. If you give him a ton of time and there's no pressure in his face and he's sitting there just picking you apart time after time, Wisconsin's going to be in trouble. Now, Indiana hasn't been great running the football. Wisconsin's been phenomenal stopping the run, even against Northwestern. The one game, obviously, that's the blemish right now. One thing that was nowhere near a blemish was, once again, nearly perfection against Northwestern, even in that loss, was the run defense. And Indiana finally figured something out in the running game last week. They hadn't found that 1-2 punch that they finally found against Maryland. It was a breakout performance for the Hoosiers and for Tim Baldwin Jr., who ran for over 100 yards. Stevie Scott, who was and is the main guy, 24 carries, just over 3 yards a carry, but had 3 TDs. He will be the goal line back for sure, but expect Tim Baldwin Jr. to get a bulk of carries, especially after what he did last week. And he wasn't, expected to be on Wisconsin's radar coming into this game, but all of a sudden, a breakout performance a week ago. So keep an eye out for number 20 on IU, a guy that just ran the ball extremely, extremely well and rewarded some trust from the coaching staff last week against Maryland. We'll get to our preview with Paul Gabel of thehoosier.com in just a sec, and then I'll get to my predictions for how this thing goes and what it really means in the long run of this strange ending to the season with all these cancellations. This whole entire mess of the Big Ten Conference right now, it's a mess. But if you need to chill out and not think about the mess that is the Big Ten cancellations, if you just need to watch football on Saturday and clear your brain, the beer that should be in your hand is Coors Light, the beer that is made to chill. And the best part about Coors Light right now, not that it's brewed in Golden, Colorado at Coors Brewing Company, or that it's as cold as the Rockies. You've heard all these things, how refreshingly chill this beer is. But the best part about it is you can go online right now to get.coorslight.com and have it shipped directly to your house. So not only do you drink it when you're chilling, but you can be chilling when you order it to your house. You just sit on your couch, order it, shows up at your door, and boom, you're watching Wisconsin football with the beer that is made to chill in your hand. Please celebrate responsibly. Go to get.coorslight.com right now to order Coors Light, the beer that is made to chill. Joining me to talk Wisconsin, Indiana, the Badgers back on the football field tomorrow is Paul Gabel of thehoosier.com, Rivals Indiana analyst, and a guy that's going to tell us, is Jack Tuttle going to beat Wisconsin football tomorrow? Is the backup quarterback going to come in and steal the show? Paul, welcome to Locked On Badgers.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Glad to be doing this. So Wisconsin, Indiana tomorrow, as I already opened with, the big story, Michael Penix Jr. tore his ACL after an incredible start to the year. We were hyping up on the Locked On Big Ten shows, the Michael Penix Jr. Heisman campaign before the year started. After that arm extension against Penn State at home, that Heisman campaign started ramping up a little bit. I'm obviously being a little facetious. It wasn't actually in the Heisman conversation, but he was playing great football. Can Jack Tuttle step in and win a football game at Camp Randall?
Yeah, I really think he can. Everyone that I've talked to, going back to his high school coach, has said that Jack Tuttle has it. He has an it factor. He the opportunity of a lifetime, if you will. And his high school coach compared it, and we haven't seen Jack Tuttle in a game where the score is 0-0 and he's the starter, but he said that This reminds him of when Montana came off the bench at Notre Dame. That this is the opportunity of a lifetime. He fully expects Jack Tuttle to make the most of it. Talking to Coach Allen this week and some of Jack's teammates, they all have talked about how live his arm is, how he can make every throw. And, you know, let's not forget that when Jack Tuttle came into that game against Maryland, his first throw was a two-point conversion to Peyton Hendershot. That was on the money. You know, nerves, I'm sure Jack will have nerves, as you would expect. Camp Randall is a hard place to play regardless of who the hell the quarterback is. But when you have someone making their first career start against a team like Wisconsin, it's a little tougher. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Jack go out and have a good game. What Jack needs to do is Jack needs to trust the process. And Jack needs to trust his offensive line, that running game that showed up for the first time all season last week against Maryland. And, you know, it helps when you have guys like Ty Freifogel and Watt Fillier and Peyton Hendershot catching balls from you.
Yeah, the wide receiving corps has been fantastic so far for Indiana. You mentioned the running game, not as solid as maybe I thought coming into the year, but did pick it up a little bit last week. So just a little bit of background for listeners on Jack Tuttle. San Marcos, California native, originally at Utah, went to Utah out of high school, transferred to Indiana, a high four-star guy. So this is a recruit that's you know, close to Graham Mertz if we're talking about stars and 24/7 sports ratings. Obviously, a lot of that goes out the window when you step onto a Big Ten field. We saw that last year. Hunter Johnson, anybody? So stars don't exactly dictate, obviously, if you can play at this level at the quarterback position. But we're going to see Jack Tuttle making his first career start, former four-star recruit. Talking about that running game, though, transition to that. Tim Baldwin Jr., out of pretty much nowhere, at least to me, 100-yard rushing game last week. Stevie Scott's been the guy. He had three touchdowns as well. So 186 combined rushing yards for those two guys against Maryland in Indiana's 27-11 win last week. Where was that all year, and how did they finally get it going against Maryland?
Man, that's a great question as to where that was all year. You know, it's an offensive line that I can't figure out, honestly. They do a great job pass blocking, but the run blocking has struggled at times this season. And I think what really broke through the running attack against Maryland was Coach Sheridan and Coach Allen calling up some wildcat plays, you know, putting Tim Baldwin back there, putting Stevie Scott back there. David Ellis, I think, maybe ran out of it one or two plays, not many at all. But obviously there was something in the film that told them now is the time to put this out there on a Saturday. They've worked on it going back to fall camp. So never really got a real explanation from the coaching staff, if you will, or from Stevie Scott or from Tim Baldwin about why now, other than it just seemed like now was the right time. And you know, let's be honest, Michael Penix, for as good as he's been all season, is as bad as he was in that first half against Maryland. Only completed two passes. One of them was on a tip ball that Peyton Hendershot caught. The other one was on a illegal motion penalty against Maryland, where he just kind of threw it up for grabs. Those were his only two completed passes. So something had to give, and fortunately the running game showed up and showed out against Maryland.
And that's something that's not easy to do, though, against a Jim Leonard 3-4 defense that has just been destroying runs. So I think that could be, and would you agree that is probably the key for Indiana on either side of the ball, is just establishing the running game, especially with a guy in Jack Tuttle who, yes, maybe has the arm, but doesn't have any collegiate experience.
Right. And you know, coming into that game against Maryland, Jack, I think, only had 36 yards passing, and all that came in mop-up duty. I wrote about it this week on thehoosier.com. One of my keys is not simplify the offense. I do not want to see Nick Sheridan and Tom Allen close the playbook, because that right there tells you that we don't have a whole lot of confidence in what we're throwing out there with Jack. What I want to see, though, is short passes to the flat, to the running backs, some short to immediate passes, and that running game has got to show up. If that running game can show up and pick up 4, 5, 6 yards a clip, that's going to make things so much easier on Jack, I think.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And we haven't seen Jack Tuttle have to air it out, have to play a bunch of meaningful football. We'll see it right away tomorrow at Camp Randall. Can't wait. The defense. So we can take out the outlier. I think it's fair to take out the 42-point outlier because you were playing that one team in Columbus, Ohio, that I think is pretty good, right? I mean, the Ohio State Buckeyes, they're not bad from year to year. They're all right in this conference. They kind of give everybody that 40-piece and a loss. Taking that out, two of the last 3 weeks, you can combine those two games against Maryland and Michigan State. This defense has allowed 11 points total, right, and then 21 to Michigan. And that 21 didn't even feel like a bad 21 to give up. It was 7 first-half points. The game was basically – it felt over at halftime to me. It was 24-7 at half, felt over. This defense is really impressed so far this year.
Yeah, I have said on more than one occasion to virtually everybody that as good as that offense was under Penix, and it was pretty good. I mean, you know, let's give Michael Penix his due. He led the Big Ten in passing yards. And, you know, when you have receivers like Wap and Ty, that's easy to do, and Michael Penix is talented. But I maintain that the strength of that IU team is that defense. 18 takeaways, 16 interceptions, yeah. And Kane Womack, in his second year as defensive coordinator, has done a tremendous job of dialing up blitzes and schemes where nobody knows where they're coming from. That was one thing, as you mentioned, the Ohio State game. Going into that, Justin Fields was asked, well, what makes them different than anybody you've seen? And he said, they're no different than anybody we've seen. They just bring blitzes from all over and create issues, and I'll have to go out and execute. And we saw how that worked for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, since last year, he had 3 interceptions, and they did a great job of confusing Justin Fields, who I thought going into that game was the best quarterback in the country. I know what Jones is doing at Alabama. I'm fully aware of Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, but I honestly thought that Justin Fields was the best quarterback in the country. And then to do it last week, to Tua's brother from Maryland and confuse him. This defense is something else. And it's guys like Tywan Mullen and Jalen Williams and Jamar Johnson that and Micah McFadden at middle linebacker, who, in my opinion, is the heart and soul of that defense. And Jamar Johnson, and you can go on and on and on. All 11 players at one point or another on that defense have played a role in shutting down opposing quarterbacks and getting takeaways.
We're going to talk Coach Tom Allen, who has just – I mean, is he God right now in Bloomington, Indiana? Like, if he walks around, does everybody pay for his drinks, pay for his food? He doesn't have to pay for a single meal the rest of his life in Bloomington, does he?
I think he could run for mayor of Bloomington and probably win.
Probably, but it'd be a landslide.
In all seriousness, it is amazing to see, and we talked about it before we came on about IU and its basketball legacy. And after one of the press conferences, one of the players, might have been Jamar Johnson, said, we're no longer a basketball school. And
Archie Miller loved that quote, I'm sure.
I think that speaks volumes to the job that Tom Allen and his staff have done. And it's a turnaround that has started with LEO, Love Each Other, and has only taken off from there.
I was just amazed by that post-game speech after a loss, because I've always thought as a coach, you know, and I've been in locker rooms at the high school level, and it's just not the same thing, obviously, but it still gives you kind of a taste of what a coach says to you after a loss, and how a coach deals with loss. And to see Tom Allen in that locker room and just hyping everybody up after a loss to Ohio State, that was impressive to me. So Paul, I know you got to run. Thank you so much for hopping on Locked On Badgers. Let's do it again soon. And last minute, last second prediction for this game?
I'm going to take Jack Tuttle and Indiana to shock everybody. I think there's something to be said for game reps. I know Tuttle hasn't had many, but I think IU goes in a little fresher, a little crisper. And I'll take I took Indiana and our predictions on the Hoosier.com. I took Indiana 28-24.
We'll get into my prediction in just a sec. Paul, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Asher. Have a good one.
So if we're talking about how this game is going to go, our Locked On Badgers prediction here before Saturday, 2:30 Central kick between Wisconsin and Indiana. The 2-1 Badgers, the 5-1 Hoosiers, right? The surprise of the Big Ten in many people's eyes. Not that surprised by it, to be honest. Talked about it before the year started. This team was, is, are legit completely. I think that this week is a bit of a flip of the script for both these teams of what we're expecting. And here's why. I think that Wisconsin's offense is going to bounce back in a big way. I think Danny Davis and Kendrick Pryor coming back is going to settle Graham Mertz down. I think he has a game much closer to the Illinois game than to the Northwestern game. I don't think he's going to play the way he did in week one, but I think he'll play much closer to that level than whatever that was against Northwestern. It's a bounce back game for him. He bounces back in a big way in his true freshman season. Wisconsin's offense gets it going. Jalen Berger gets the ball 15 times at least, and this offense really, really flows. I think the offense is going to be really good. I think Jack Tuttle performs better than maybe people are expecting. I think Indiana scores points as well. I actually see this being a more high-scoring game than I think most people are expecting. I think Wisconsin's defense struggles just a little bit, losing Rashad Wildgoose for the year, who's going to the NFL, and it was announced after he announced he's going to the NFL that he is out for the season. So that all makes sense anyway with an injury, by the way. So that all makes a little more sense. Wisconsin's top corner losing him. I think Jack Tuttle plays a solid first game at Camp Randall and of his collegiate career. I think this is a high-scoring game. I think Wisconsin does pull it out and uses really, really solid offense to do so, takes care of the ball, and wins it 34-21, we'll say. 34-21, Badgers by 13. Overall, comfortable win, but this defense will give up some plays that will leave you scratching your head for the first time maybe all year with Wisconsin's defense. So a total flip of the script for what we normally see and what we have seen from Wisconsin football. That's what I'm expecting. As always, on Wisconsin, we'll be right back here next week to break down everything that happens on Saturday. And of course, stay tuned for the Wisconsin Marquette post-game live episode reacting to Wisconsin basketball's first test of the young season.